The National Academies of Science have also released an assessment of the value of social, behavioral, and economic sciences. That report concludes that those so-called soft sciences are critical to the mission of the National Science Foundation and also do deserve federal funding. The authors credit researchers in those fields with, among many other things, developing the original version of a Google search algorithm. After this coming conversation, you may find yourself questioning just how beneficial that was. That's because new research finds that 7 out of 10 smartphone apps are sharing personal data with third-party services like Google Analytics. It's not your name or social security number, but data that could lead back to a user's identity or location. And they're sharing it without explicit permission. Joining me now via Skype are the authors of that study. Narceo Vaino Rodriguez is a research assistant professor with IMDEA Networks Institute in Madrid and a research scientist at International Computer Science Institute at UC Berkeley. Srikanth Sundaresan is a research fellow in computer science at Princeton University. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so you have found that 7 out of 10 smartphone apps are collecting and then sending private data out to third-party tracking services, things like Google Analytics or ad providers. Did that prevalence surprise you when you found that out?
So we kind of knew that there was something going on because, you know, let's face it, most of the apps that people download and install are free at the point of use, and developers need to make money. Right? I mean, they're not providing a free service. So what really, you know, made us study this is the fact that phones have the ability to collect a lot of very private information about users, and they're also providing it for free. So we really needed to understand where this data is going and how these services are using it. What really surprised us is the fact that a lot of the entities that are collecting data is actually third parties.
So yeah, these third-party providers, what is it that they're doing with the data, and are apps actually selling the data to them or just handing it over for free, just giving it to them?
We cannot really tell what they actually do with the data. What we are observing is basically that many of those services are providing some kind of support to application developers. So it could be, for instance, to identify inefficiencies and bugs in the application or perhaps improve the usability of the app. But in addition to that, they're collecting unique identifiers and other personal information from the users. What may happen as well, and we cannot really provide numbers on that, is what they actually do later with the data. We don't know if they're selling it for marketing purposes or if they're only using it for providing the service that they're trying to give to application developers. But that's still an open question that I think that the research community as well as the regulators have to actually try to answer.
And is there any operating system, you know, Android or Apple, any particular devices, or is this really across the board that you see this kind of sharing of private data?
So our studies only study the Android ecosystem. We really don't know what's going on with Apple and iOS, but a lot of the apps that we study are in both the markets. So I mean, there is some reason to believe that they're probably doing the same thing, but we really can't tell.
You actually found that 15% of these apps are connecting to 5 or more of these third-party trackers. Why is that important? Why does it matter once they've shared with one? Why does it matter if they're sharing with multiple?
Perhaps because actually some trackers or some advertising services, they are actually providing a given service that actually is different from the other one. So, for instance, there are third-party services specialized on providing support to game developers, but there are other services that may allow, for instance, social network integration or perhaps some techniques to actually improve the usability of the app. So they can serve various purposes, and many application developers may have actual incentives to use more than one at the same time.
I mean, obviously, if you're installing a mapping app, you know, you kind of need to give it access to your location in order for most of the functionality of that app to actually work. But I don't think that most users are thinking that in giving that access to that app, that they're giving permission for that to be shared more broadly. Is this a completely legal activity, this sharing of data without explicitly asking users to do that?
Well, I think it's a it really depends on the regulatory rules, depending on the country. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think there are rules that prevent that in the U.S., but I may be wrong.
Now, you're talking about, one app sending data to multiple third-party trackers. But most of this data, when it gets to whatever that third party is, ends up in something called a code library. And multiple apps are likely to be sending information to that same code library. And you say that presents an added danger. So what's the danger when you've got multiple apps feeding information into one database?
I think we need to clarify that a bit. Basically, it's not going to a code library, but a library is basically a piece of software that application developers can import on their application, so they can actually include on their source code.
So when the library gets installed as part of the app, it gets permission, it gets access to the same permissions that the host app has. And the reason why that is a problem is, imagine that there are five different apps that use the same third-party library, right? And even if you assume the best case where, all of these apps just ask for the minimum set of permissions that they need to, do their job, like the mapping app, asks permission for location, right? And there's an app that, that does something with your text. So it needs access to your text messages. Another app that needs access to your photos, right? And even if they're all legitimate, but they're all using the same third-party library app, Now you can imagine that this particular library now has access for the same user to a broader set of permissions than it gets from any single app.
And could that information be combined by that third party? Is there any way for them to piece back and figure out that, well, this photo from this app matches this location from this mapping app, matches this set of contacts over here and really put together a personal identity?
Yes,
correct.
It is possible to do that because all it needs is some unique identifier that says this phone has this ID. Going back to the earlier point that you made about social security, I mean, I think it's a sort of a red herring because you really don't need that level of really strong IDs to link to a person. What researchers found, not just us, multiple researchers have found, is that you only need several weak identifiers that by themselves don't seem that that much of an issue to be able to piece together information that can uniquely identify an individual. So in this case, all you need is something that identifies the phone, maybe the MAC address, or you could have the an IMEI number, or you could have the phone number. And now you could start building a much broader picture about this particular individual than you could otherwise.
I think, you've mentioned a few times that your own app that you use to gather this data. It's called Lumen. Ironically, in order to do this research, you kind of have to collect other people's data, right? I mean, how do you actually go about doing this?
There are two things. So one is that we do need access to the permissions, to a lot of permissions in order for us to be able to say that, hey, this data is going out of your phone. Your phone number is being leaked by this app. But in order to maximize privacy, we actually do all the processing on the phone itself. So we don't actually export any private information about the user to our servers. All we do is we do all the processing on the phone. And when we see a particular piece of information that's going out, we're like, hey, you know what? This app sent your location, to this particular server, right? We don't actually export the actual location. We just export the fact that this app exported this particular piece of information.
Srikanth, right at the top of our conversation, you mentioned the fact that most of these apps that people are downloading are free apps, and that may be part of the problem. So is the solution to keeping our private data actually private as simple as paying for the apps that we want to use on our phones?
That would seem to be the case, but in our study, we also found that apps that are paid also share information with third-party services. We did find that they do so at a smaller rate than free apps, but they still do so. So the answer to your question is that we don't know. I mean, it's a very hugely complex question that's not just that doesn't just span, you know, computer science research. It's also a regulatory question. But the fact is that we need to find a balance somewhere. I mean, it could be that, you know, people, users start paying for apps a little bit more. It could be that we need, you know, stronger privacy laws, or we need more educated users, you know, people understanding what they're doing. So the short answer is, you know, it's complex.
Srikanth Sundaresan is a research fellow in computer science at Princeton University. Narceo Vaina Rodriguez is research assistant professor with IMDEA Networks Institute in Madrid and research scientist at the International Computer Science Institute at UC Berkeley. They joined me by Skype. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure.